Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we'll be looking at some updates we'll give you in a minute as they come through on my computer about what's happened in Boston. When this happened, I read a piece in The Nation magazine by Chloe Angell. Did I say your name correctly, Chloe?
Actually.
I did.
No, it's pronounced Angel.
Angel, I didn't know.
That's all right.
Now I do know. Chloe Angel. Sorry, Chloe. Chloe is editor of Feministing and facilitator of the Op-Ed Project, and she wrote a piece in The Nation called After Boston, One Foot in Front of the Other. And she talks about the challenges of rehabilitation in trauma instance through her kind of friend's rehabilitation, who is an Iraq War veteran. She's facilitator, as I said, of the Op-Ed Project and a PhD candidate at the University of New South Wales.
That is correct.
It's a long distance to go to college?
It's where I was born and raised in Sydney, Australia.
Okay, well, that makes more sense.
Yes.
So talk a bit about, first, before we talk about in general, you're kind of thinking about what is happening in Boston, and a couple things I do want to ask very specifically, just your thoughts. But the piece you wrote about a friend of yours who lost a limb in Iraq. Tell the story a bit that you wrote about.
It's actually not the first time I've written about him. I wrote a piece about him at Jezebel.com last year because he's the only friend that I have in the armed forces, the only friend that I have who's a veteran. And
is he American or Australian?
He's American.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was that I had no idea how to talk to him about what had happened to him. And not coming from a military family, not having a lot of friends in the military, I think that's actually a really common problem that people in my situation run into, which is that we just simply don't know how to have this conversation. We don't have a script for this conversation. We have a script for the I got into grad school conversation, or the I'm engaged conversation, or the or crap, I'm pregnant and I think I'm having an abortion conversation. We just don't know how to talk to someone who's
right.
sustained, who's had the kind of experiences that my friend had, and that's partly a function of the way the relationship between the military and the rest of society has changed since the end of conscription. And obviously, I'm not advocating a return to the draft, but I do think that there is now this cultural disconnect where if you don't want to think about the military, you don't have to because it doesn't butt up against your life anymore unless you are from a military family or you have friends in the military. So I wrote this piece about him and about his experience coming back and sort of reintegrating into life while recovering and learning to work his prosthetic limb and about how to have an honest, open conversation with someone who's been through that. I mean, how important it is that we have those conversations with veterans. And obviously that applies to the tens of thousands of people in the armed forces and just out of them who experience military sexual trauma, which is a huge problem in the armed forces. So, you know, when the explosions happened in Boston on Monday, I think like a lot of people who weren't worried about friends and family on the ground, I was sort of worried on a larger, less personal scale about what this means, you know, like a lot of people, what this means now. And the thing, two things broke my heart. The first was how incredibly numb I felt. And I've spoken to a lot of people who said the same thing, that, yep, this is normal now. I mean, of course it's not normal, but this is not entirely surprising in America anymore. We've sort of grown used to feeling this mingled shock, disbelief, disgust, fear, and in a really grotesque way, I think, acceptance that, yep, we live in a really dangerous, violent time now. And that broke my heart. But what really moved me to tears and moved me to write, which is what I do when I move to tears, is the thought of these phenomenal athletes robbed of the thing that gives them so much joy and for which they work so very, very hard. You know, injuries to the lower extremities that take away their ability to run,
right,
which is what they so love to do and are so good at.
As a matter of fact, two of the women that we know of, because they came out of Baltimore, actually came out of Maryland, one still lives here, One woman had a leg and foot blown off, who's waiting for her mother to cross the finish line. Mm-hmm. And her sister is a world-class triathlete and was also waiting for her mother to cross the line, and both her legs were crushed, multiple compound fractures in both legs. And yeah. You see that, and you also see the people who were killed. And what interests me also, though, is when I was watching the news today about the government closing in, they say, on a couple of suspects. The first thing that CNN did in their report, I think it was CNN, was to say they found a suspect and he's dark-skinned. Literally, those are the words they used.
Mm-hmm.
And then another report came later saying, in another newspaper saying, well, they're white. Well, I don't know what's true. I have no idea what nationality these people are who have been are suspects. But our immediate thing, the whole way we look at this, is kind of frightening. Like the first person they arrested on the ground was a man running as everybody else was running away, who was Saudi Arabian, but he was running because he was afraid of the bomb. But he's the one they arrested, nobody else.
I don't think it should come. At this point, it should come to no surprise to any American that racial profiling in law enforcement is a huge problem, especially when it comes to events that appear to be acts of terrorism, when in reality, some of the most catastrophic incidents of terrorism on American soil have been at the hands of Americans, whether that's, whether you're talking about Timothy McVeigh, a white American, or you're talking about, an act of domestic terrorism like a white anti-choice extremist walking into a church in Topeka, Kansas, and shooting an abortion provider point blank in the head. Those are acts of domestic terrorism that, despite the fact that this is a country that has spent the last decade turning itself inside out to try and protect itself from acts of terror by foreign brown people, Some of the worst acts have been inflicted on us by our own.
And I think this is, and there's nothing a piece I was reading that really made me reflect a bit on where this is going, and also in juxtaposition to some other photos I saw. There were photos that came across the web. I don't know if you saw them or not, but these were photos of Iraqis who had just experienced the worst violence in a long time. Of car bombs that killed dozens of people and injured over 150 people in Baghdad. And the signs came back were from Iraq, from Baghdad, "We are with you, Boston," were the signs. I wish I'd seen the media play those up more. They didn't.
And I wish we could. Well, first of all, to go back to what you said earlier about our knee-jerk reaction that this must have been a foreigner. And a foreigner with dark skin who did this to us. I think that has been we've been steeping in that for the last decade or more. So while it's not excusable, it is understandable, I think. But wouldn't it be great if we could take the empathy that we feel as Americans, the empathy that we feel for Bostonians today, tomorrow, yesterday, Monday, and try and feel that for people beyond our borders? Wouldn't it be great if we could model those Iraqi people and send that, make that reciprocal, remember what this feels like the next time we see footage of bombs happening beyond American borders. Remember this feeling, and try and have some empathy.
No, I agree completely. I think that these are the kind of things that we have to remember as this thing unfolds. When we look at what's happening in countries we've torn asunder like Iraq and the. There are so many thousands of people who've been maimed, like the poor people in Boston were maimed. But we don't think of that. It doesn't come into our consciousness when we think about what happens. It's what happens to us.
I agree, and one of the reasons why I wanted to make the connection between this completely unexpected explosion and the sort of explosions that we expect in the line of everyday life, like in the armed forces, is that. We don't think about our veterans nearly enough. We talk about them, and we talk about them when it's convenient and politically expedient for us, and we trot them out as set as backdrop for big political speeches. But I think we don't talk about them as civilians, and we don't really talk, and I don't think our politicians really talk about them in a substantive, meaningful way, nearly enough. And they're experiencing exactly the same kinds of injuries that we saw in Boston, every day, and worse.
Right.
Which is not to diminish the severity of what happened in Boston an iota, but it is to call attention to the fact that these kinds of injuries happen to other Americans, every day, in the service of this country and around, in other countries around the world. And we should, we should remember that.
Well, Chloe Angel, this has been a pleasure to have you with us. I think you're a deeply thoughtful writer, and it's great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And we're connecting to the piece you wrote and also connecting to the pieces that you write for Feministing on our website, steinershow.org, and look forward to having you back with us one day soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Folks, that was our show for today. I want to remind you as we leave today, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. So don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. And the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis, Bobby Marvin Holmes, and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern is Lila Warshaw. Theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. And to this show again, podcast any of our past shows, and hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcast now on iTunes. I'm Mark Steiner, so don't go away. Listen to the next program coming up here on WEAA. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.